Father God, we thank you. We praise you. May your praise ever be on our lips in the good days and the hard days, the terrible days and the phenomenal days. May we always see your gifts. May we always see your light. For light has come and darkness could not put it out. Never has, never will. So God, as we go into the day of a new year, we come with gratefulness for bringing us through this last year. And we ask for courage and strength and love and vision and mission to keep us going in the next. But through it all, we will praise you. And in Jesus' name, everybody said,
Amen.
You may be seated. Happy New Year. It is so good. You know, most of you know I travel over half the year. I'm on the road. And so to be actually at my home church 2 weeks in a row is a blessing for me, just to be here. And it's just so good to be home with family and friends. A lot of times when I'm on the road, they'll give me an introduction and they'll actually read some of my resume to introduce me. So like, you know, so people don't know me, like, why, you know. And so I remember this time I was in Colorado and it didn't have the warmness of home. So the guy was trying to say why they should listen to me. And the guy got up in there like reading my resume. And they're like, today we have with us Bob Lenz. Bob has spoken in all 50 states, 29 countries, has written 5 books, started a festival called Life Fest with his home church, has done Life Fest in 2 other countries, in Haiti and in Peru. And I knew Bob when he was still speaking to junior high students. Would you please welcome Bob Lenz? And I didn't know what to do because I still speak to junior high students. I think he was trying to be nice. I think he was saying, Bob's getting a little better. We can trust him with a real audience now. Adults. Now, I don't mind speaking to adults much. But I still speak to junior high students and even younger now. People say, Bob, why? Right, because of the word of God. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I'm a professional speaker. Matthew 28, 19, 20 says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. That's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. May I point something out? That's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. That's not a suggestion. That is actually what we're supposed to be about. Do you know our mission here at Christ Rock? Let me say it in 3 words. Seek, love, disciple. Seek, love, disciple. Let me hear you say that.
Seek, love, disciple.
One more time.
Seek, love, disciple.
Seek, love, disciple. That's what our mission is. That's what we're supposed to be about. And that's what I'm here today. We're supposed to go out, make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That's what we're supposed to do. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing our mission. And so this message I'm doing this morning, I actually wrote for here and did it here almost 6 to 8 years ago. But I want to remind you today because we actually took that and made it into my latest book called 18, which I think is fitting on the year of 2018. So there's a number I want you to know, and last week we gave out, it was so fun, for people who respond to the gospel, we said they could take one of the grace books that we had rewritten. 616 people took a grace book, and I pray that they'll get discipled. Praise God on that. How awesome is that? This one, I'm going to ask you to go and buy it. I've never done this before here. I'm asking every one of you to go and buy a copy of this book. We spent way too much on Christmas. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My wife, that's how I love capitalism. But I say that because of this. My wife and I decided when we wrote this book that we're not taking one penny from the sales of this book. We're going to give 100% to go into the public schools and reach the next generation for Christ. And so I unapologetically ask you to go and buy a book. Why? Because of the mission. Faith for the next generation. Because even though our mission here is what? That was very weak. Come on. Our mission here is what? I want every one of you to know this, own this, and be this. Be this. That we're picking up that baton and we're going forward. We're going forward. This is our mission. This is our church. We're going forward. And here's why it's so important. Even though that's our mission, and even though God gave us a great commission, here's the sad reality. 9 out of 10 believers have never led another person to Christ. 9 out of 10 of us have never led another to Christ. And they say that about 99% of those aren't followed up on when they do come to Christ. We all think it's Billy Graham's job. The dude's almost 100. Give him a day off. He's still the fourth most of this last year, fourth most admired man in the world today. But we all think it's his job or the senior pastor's job or the paid staff job. No, it's our job. I was the first youth pastor here, Ryan, and I was part-time. And we would already start on Tuesday nights so that I could go and preach at other places on Wednesdays. I was sent out here right from the beginning to go out and share the good news here to from Solid Rock to Christ Rock to go out. And so whatever youth group on Tuesday, and I was only part-time, and I got a call from a student on Friday night after a game, and he calls and said, Pastor Bob, I have a friend at my house who wants to come to Christ. That, you know, and I said, that's awesome. He goes, you got to come over. I said, I'm going to bed. He said, you didn't hear me. My friend wants to come to Christ. I said, that's great. He said, well, you got to come over. I said, no, I'm going to bed. He goes, it's your job. Niall was ticked because I was only part-time and I already put in 60 hours. And now not just my brother and the elders were telling me my job description, but this sophomore in high school, line man, was telling me my job description. And I said, I'm sorry. If you don't know how to put him to Christ, if you don't know how to lead him to Christ, I didn't do my job. Good night. And I hung up on him. He was so mad. But according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, says God gave to the body pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So if he didn't know how to lead them to Christ, I didn't do my job. But he was so mad at me. But guess what happened that Sunday morning? He came to Christ with a brand new believer by his side. But guess who led him to Christ? Not the youth pastor. He did. That's what we need to do. That was from the youth pastor. Come on, let's go. That's what we need to do. Because here's why. If you just took one person, and you shared Jesus with them for the hope that is within you, and they watched your life, and they saw that when you go through a hard time, you pray. When you go through a hard time and you need instructions, you look to the Word. When you need encouragement, you go to other believers. They see you going to church every Sunday, even though the Packers are playing at 12, but they're out of the playoff. Anyways, they watch you prioritize it. And then when they're going through something, they go, what's going on? No, not the whole world. Just one person. To be with there for somebody. And if you led that one person to Christ when they asked, I know we can't judge another heart, but is there anybody in your life that as far as you can tell doesn't know the love of Jesus? Isn't it the best thing in your life? Hasn't the light come? Don't stop sharing. But if you just took one person, not the whole world, just one, and then you help them get instruction from the Word. You help them go to prayer when they're having a hard time. You invite them to corporate worship so you can experience God, not just sing a few songs, but worship Jesus. You get into Scripture, maybe go through that book with them. You know what that's called? Discipleship. following. But if you just took one person for the next 6 months, disciple them, and then you each took one more person and you led them to Christ and discipled for 6 months, guess how long it would take for the whole world to come to Christ? How many years?
18 years.
What?
18 years.
You got it. It's actually 17 and a half, less than how many years? I want you to know this number. How many years?
18.
If just once, but here we are. 2,000 years since Christ came and gave us the Great Commission. And this Sunday, and every other Sunday in America, less than 18% of youth under the age of 18 are in church today. That's not okay. Not on our watch. And I'm so thankful for last weekend and four services. But where are they all this week? We got to continue this. We so easy let other things prioritize. Less than 18% are in church. So here's what I want. What we need to do is this. We need to go back to the Word of God. We need to see what our mission is. What is the mission of Christ's Rock? Seek, love, and disciple. There's nobody too young, nobody too old, nobody too dense. We all can do this. Look to the Word of God. Look to Luke chapter, guess what chapter?
18.
Luke chapter 18, verse 16, look at this. Jesus said, but Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to the elders. Put it back up. Keep it up. Thank you. For the kingdom of God belongs to the paid staff, to the youth pastors, to the Christian musicians. It says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. If we're going to fulfill our mission as a church in 2018 and going forward, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, here's what we have to do. We have to refocus on youth. I said last week about us getting older and don't get stiff and stale and callous and make sure you can still dance. Here's why. We're naturally growing older. The church doesn't just naturally grow. It has to be a choice, the proactive. So if we're going to fall, here's the mission for this sermon and the mission for our church. If we are going to fulfill the Great Commission, if we're going to fulfill the mission of Christ Rock Church, we have to refocus on youth. Why? I'm glad you asked. Three reasons. Number one, two out of three people who come to Christ will do so before the age of 18. All the statistics by Billy Graham, he actually uses 85%. George Barna's recent survey said out of those 85%, or the two out of three that we use, 75% will come before the age of 14. And guess what? Then volunteering for Sun Harbor and breakout and AMP and Narrow Path, it matters. It's not just leftovers. I preach at a lot of different churches, and I was at one church, and they said, how many people do you have in your church? And they said, oh, about 200. I said, really? It looked like a lot more than that. And they said, oh, we don't count children. I'm like, what? Did children matter to Jesus? Should they matter to us? Yes. They matter. We need to count them. I was at one church. It was a mega church. You know what that means, right? This is a mega shirt. Okay. So I was at this mega church, and they said what they did is they would release their kids to Sunday school during it. And again, this is not talking about a style. There's all different ways. But I went up to it, and I just wanted to know why. I'm like, why do you guys release? They would sing two songs and release their kids. I said, why do you release your kids to Sunday school? You know what one of the adults told me? So the adults can enjoy the worship service. I'm like, oh, so it's babysitting. And they said, no, no, it's not babysitting. It's free babysitting. Now, please hear me. The first responsibility of your son or daughter to come to Christ is not Sun Harbor, is not Christ the Rock. Your child's education is not whether you homeschool or a public school or a private school. As a parent, they're your responsibility, they're my responsibilities. And we can't brush it off to somebody else. And we have to see how important it is. We work, because of Life Fest, we work a lot of musicians, and this actually happened at this church. A friend of mine, he's a really good musician, and he does a lot. He's in a couple cover tune bands, and he plays all over town, and he's really, really good. And he said, Bob, I really feel like God wants me to start using my gifts for the church to honor God. And I'm like, that's awesome. You know, he said, that's what I thought. He said, but the elders won't even let me play on stage on Sunday morning. They want me to play for Sun Harbor. And he said, what an insult. He said that to the wrong guy. After I hit him, kids, I'm kidding. I'm a Christian. I helped him up. Talk to your kids about that. I said, an insult. What an honor. What a privilege. What a responsibility. We get calls, 5 calls a day for bands that every day that want to play at Life Fest. But we can't get enough volunteers for Sunday school, for Sun Harbor. What is wrong? I think we're more interested in our needs and me being comfortable. I'm tired of trying to make church comfortable. We have a mission. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Then let's get on board. At Bill's funeral, I said, will you take the baton? And everybody stood. Where are they this morning? You're here. I'm calling you forth. I'm calling you forth. It's time. It's time. We need to go forward. We need to say, this is our responsibility. Charles Spurgeon said this, any child by the age of 5, when properly instructed, can come to a real personal relationship with Jesus. Do you believe that? I didn't hear you. What's the mission of Christ Rock? Seek, love, and disciple. I'm asking you, if God's speaking to you, I'm asking you to go to Tom Potter. I'm asking you to go to the information station and sign up. We need over 10 volunteers for every Sunday yet. That shouldn't happen in a church our size. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm inviting you. Well, maybe a little bit, but I'm inviting you. Then don't say we're a disciple. It disciples make disciples. It's time, amped. On Sunday morning, we need 3 or 4 guys or girls to be there, to help them out. On Wednesdays, AM needs about 4 to 5 guys. We need guys for small groups. You're like, I'm not qualified, I'm too old. My daughter, sorry parents, but I have a tattoo up here. I hide it so I can be Baptist. But when I got it, my oldest daughter, Amber, said to me, Dad, you're a Christian speaker. You're supposed to be an example. And then she said, plus, you're not cool. You never were, so don't try to be. Please hear me. You're not too old. You're not unqualified. You just need to be there with them. Just come and talk. Just be you. Authenticity is one of our core values here. I'm sorry, we got to keep going. So, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to refocus on youth. Why? 3 reasons. Number one, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age of 18. Number two is this. The enemy is targeting this area. The enemy is targeting this age. When I start school assembly programs, I can't start with the words. So we start with embarrassing moments. And we sit and laugh and have kids have a good time. But because I collect them everywhere I was going, I was doing a camp. Matter of fact, Ice Blast is coming up this next month, January. But today's the deadline, so sign up today. And yes, encourage, even force your kid to go. They'll love it. They'll be mad now, they'll love it afterwards. Okay, sign up, let's get them there. It's awesome, I was there last year, it's fantastic. But I was at a camp, And this kid said, Bob, I got an embarrassing moment. I said, tell. He said, mine's not funny. I said, what is it? He said, 2 weeks before I came to camp, my mom and dad got divorced. Bob, I know it happens to a lot of people, but I'm a big football player, but it just hurts so bad. I couldn't stop crying. But a friend of mine who went through the same thing was there with me, gone through the same thing, and I felt like I was doing pretty good until 2 days before I came to camp. And my dad came to me and said the reason him and mom were getting divorced is he found a new girlfriend, a younger woman who he wanted to start a new life with. And he said, I talked to your mom, and she said she can handle your sisters, the two girls. But she just doesn't think she can handle you. And I just want to start a new life with my new girlfriend. So we talked to social services, and we're seeing if we can get foster care until you're 18. What did you tell him? He said, Bob, you know how embarrassing it is when your own parents go to court because neither of them want you? No, please hear. Please know this. If you come from a divorce situation, the victim of, or even if you were the agent of it in the past, you are welcome here. Any condition, you are welcome here. You are welcome. There's forgiven, no condemnation in Christ. But with that said, if you have children in that marriage, please, please, I beg you, don't use them as a pawn to get back at your ex. Please don't put the children in the middle of it because the enemy is already targeting that. I'm asking you, our church is going to be going through the Word of God. I want you to look at another scripture, Leviticus chapter 18. When's the last time we read through Leviticus? But as a church, we're going to read through the Bible. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21 says this. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of the Lord your God. Molech was a god, small g, in the Old Testament. He had a body of a human, a body of a human and a head of a bull. Now, maybe this is a stretch, but I wonder if that bull could represent Wall Street. No, no, come on, don't worry. I'm not a Occupy Wall Street guy, but I'm sure not a bow down to Wall Street and the almighty dollar either. But what you had to do if you wanted your life to go good, you know what you had to do? You had to sacrifice to this god. And he was a god of fire, so his arms were out like this. Look it up. And you'd have to come and sacrifice to this god of fire if you wanted health. You wanted 2018 to go good. But guess what you had to sacrifice? Your children. You'd put your child in there. Can you imagine the cries, parents, but especially your moms, and the stench? And you know what they would do? They'd play the drums. You see them in some movie. They'd play the drums louder and louder so that they drowned out the cry. Today, in America, over 25 million teenagers are in homes without a father. Fatherless. 70% of teenagers are leaving the faith after leave high school from churches like ours going to college. But here's the point that gets me. Here's one time I hate this number. 1,800 teenagers attempt suicide every day. 18 completed. The enemy is targeting. He always has. Moses, right? When Jesus was born, Herod, they went and wiped out all the children. It's always has. This would be an easy time for a preacher like me to come against busyness and drivenness and success and jobs and bigger home and bigger car. But my own daughter Amber, when she was young, said, Daddy, why do you like speaking more than being with us? What was I going to say? Because they clap. Sometimes I get a standing ovation. If just once when I came home, your mom and you would get off that couch, stand up and applaud, I would come here more. No, her words were used of God to pierce my heart. As a family, we will sacrifice, but we will never sacrifice our family. We have to have things in order. That's why it starts. Lastly, I got to finish here. Three reasons to fulfill the Great Commission by refocusing youth. Number one, two out of three people who come to Christ will do so before the age of. The enemy is targeting that age. And number three, it's the heart of God. Let me share one more scripture. Just one more scripture, and it happens to be in Matthew chapter. You can't make that up. Matthew chapter 18, please read. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Those are Jesus' words. You know how I know? They're in red. Thank you. But those are heavy words, aren't they? That the God of all creation would say it'd be better for you to throw a millstone around your neck and be drowned? The God of all life? You know what those words are? Those are all-in words. Have you ever played Texas Hold'em? Have you ever watched on TV when they finally say, I'm all in. All in was not just a campaign we did here. It was a call that God was giving us to our church to be all in for discipleship, for evangelism, to seek love and disciple. That's what God's calling us to. Jesus was all in. He gave it all. His birth, life, death, and resurrection. He's all in for the mission. Are you? Am I? Any business people here? If you're a business person and 85% of your business came from one area, would you neglect that area? Would you just tolerate that area, put up with it? Or would you invest and cherish and develop that area? So if the mission of the church at large is to make disciples, and if two out of three, or up to 85%, will come before the age of 18, don't you think we should put our resources towards that area? What are your resources? Three, time, treasures, talent. You a follower of Jesus? Look at these three areas. What do you put your time towards? Your treasures and your talents. You know what's sad? The whole mission of the church is to make disciples. And two out of three will come before 18. And yet nationally, the average that a church puts towards their youth ministry, 18 and under, less than 15% of their budget. And if church is having a hard time, what do they cut? Usually the youth ministry. Why? Because I want to go to a new church that has better music or better sound or more production. If that's what God's called you, then go. But if you want to be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission, I promise you that the staff and the elders and the body here are committed to seek, love, and disciple. And we're not going anywhere. We're going forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ because that's what he's called us to. Amen? Amen. That's where we got to go. And that's what we got to do. I'll close with this. I was speaking in Pennsylvania and I did a youth pastor's workshop. Youth pastors, like only 1 out of 10 churches in America have a full-time youth pastor. Did you know that? 1 out of 10. And we need more volunteers, okay? But they were telling me this story of the Methodist church. You talk about a church that started out good. The Methodist church, John Wesley and his brother Charles. Unbelievable. They're the one who invented the altar call. But when you would come to Jesus, like people did this last week to get a candle, then you'd have to sign to fight against slavery. So they were like, come Jesus in my heart and then make a difference. The light of the world, come in me and now let's be a light to the world. Last week, right? Come in me and now let's be a light. and they were having a junior high lock-in. If anybody is my hero, it's volunteers for youth ministry. But if you work with junior high, I love you, don't take this wrong, but it's a weird age. I mean, it's like, you know, hormones and tennis shoes. And they were doing an all-night lock-in, no sleep. That's like, they were doing Red Bull, right? But they had this, but from the district of the Methodist Church, they had over 100 students come. And they had games, and yeah, they do stuff with eggs, and they have a lot of fun. But they had worship, and they had preaching in small groups. And over 100 kids received Christ. And these kids wanted to get in to get the best seats in the house. And somebody was leaning against the door, and it broke the lock on the door. And one of the kids didn't see the sign about no drinks in the sanctuary, and they brought in the Coke, and they spilt it. And the church had to pay $35 to get the lock fixed. And they had to shampoo the carpeting. So the elders got together and said they couldn't have the youth gathering there next year. Now, please hear me. When I talk to youth, I promise you, Reuben, I'll talk about respect. About respecting elders, respecting property, respecting the temple. But with that said, I pray that this church has the most broken doors and the dirtiest carpets of any in Wisconsin. Because we're putting our money where our mouth is. And we're saying youth matter. And they're welcome here. I love our new expansion. I love the fireplace. I love what's going on. Why do we have it? So we can seek love and disciple. That's why. I'm asking you in closing, we're going to sing one more song. And here's what I'm asking you. Are you in? Some of us have started holding back from our in campaign. Some of you put a few bucks in when it went by. There's still time to write out a final check to Christ the Rock before the end of the year. Taxes may change next year anyways. Show them you're in. I'm not on staff here. I'm not asking for me. Show them you're in. Go and volunteer. Sign up for AMP. Sign up for Narrow Path. Or breakout, that's for third through fifth graders here on Wednesday nights. Do you know you're struggling as a parent to have parent gatherings on Thursday, like twice a month? Do you know that we're trying to do even AMP on Sunday morning so we have more of the students that are coming that don't come on Wednesday so we can get more involved? We will do everything we can as a church to come along your side and help you with raising your kids to know Jesus. And in the book, it has, even if you're a parent, a grandparent here, and your heart's broken because your kid has walked away, there's a chapter on being the prodigal parent. My final addition for this was the day after Al Rockman died. And I had to do my final edit. And there's one about doing church together and being in small groups. And we've been in the same small group for 25 years with three couples. And our friends, Tim and Tiffany, have moved away. And Al passed away. It's hard. We've been hurt. But there's a chapter in here about doing life together. I'm asking you, go and get this. We, going on the verge of 2018, have a challenge, difficulties, and yet an opportunity like we've never had. We need you. This church needs you to step up like never before, starting with your family. So during this next song, we have a guy I wrote this book with came up with a thing called Faith Five. and that every day you share highs and lows at the table or at bed. Every day you at least share one scripture. This will get us ready for going through the Bible as a church coming up. And then you talk about how that scripture applies to your life, and then you pray, and then you bless your kid. It takes less than 18 minutes to do it. And yet, you know how many of us don't get in the Word every day? I was sharing with Chris Schneider on the way in, saying, well, yeah, that works when they're 10, but teenagers, they may not want to do that. Our youngest son, Tim, when we used to do this, because we did it even through high school, my low is doing highs and low. My high, now highs and lows are done. But you know what that did? One good thing about liturgy and repetition, a lot of us didn't like because we had repetition with the churches we grew up with. But the good thing about repetition is, like when my father-in-law was on hospice, he had no conscious ability to speak. But if I start saying the Lord's Prayer, he could say the Lord's Prayer. And if we have these channels, even in the hard times when our kids are pushing us away, when the prodigal comes to the end of himself and he remembers the Father's house, we can't control our kids, but we can set an example. They're watching. So during this song, I'm going to ask you to stand for this song only if you're saying, I want to be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. I will seek, love, and disciple. And by standing, you're saying, number one, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And then you're saying, how do I get involved? Is it for AMP? Is it for Sun Harbor? God, you have a gift. Every one of you is called. It's time. 2018. In scripture, it said every day somebody was added to the kingdom. Would that be amazing? Would that be amazing that next year, every day, one of us would lead somebody to Christ? You want to know how to lead your own son or daughter to Christ in a prayer? Chris Schneider, we've had him at LifeFest to come and train. He does a great job in knowing how to pray with your own kids leading to Christ. This staff is here not to do the ministry. His staff is here to equip us. It's our job. It's our turn. So last week we talked about the light of the world coming in. Then Jesus now calls us the light of the world. So if you're willing to focus on youth, your own kids, grandkids, kids in Sun Harbor, why? 2 out of 3 will come before 18. The enemy is targeting there, but it's the heart of Jesus. If you today will say, I'll take that baton. Count me all in. Treasures, I'll give. Time, I'll give. Talents, I'll give. Weaknesses, I'm in. All of me. Let's be the light of the world. If that's you, would you stand only if you're saying I'm all in during this next song?